John chapter number 20, verse 1. The first day of the week, come with Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple. By the way, that's John. He a lot of times refers to himself in the third person. He will never names himself. Verse 8. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went again unto their own home. Heavenly Father, bless as we teach through this wonderful chapter, Lord, and thank you for the accounts that we can read in Matthew and again in Mark and Luke and John concerning the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's going to be the focus for the day, and Lord, as it ought to be. And we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Jesus, as we celebrate your victory over death, your resurrection, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to each of our hearts, Lord. May we choose to live our lives in the power of the resurrection. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this chapter is very interesting. When I was reading it through this week and outlining it, it deals with the following people or people groups who all eventually saw Jesus after the resurrection. Everything that happens in this chapter happens the day of the resurrection, so that'll help you. But this chapter deals with the following people: Mary Magdalene, we're introduced to her first, then Peter and John, who race to the sepulchre, and then 10 disciples in the upper room, and so we'll see them. Why 10? Well, Judas has gone out and hung himself, and Thomas is absent. By the way, we'll deal lastly with Thomas and his reaction to the resurrection. And I think that we'll find ourselves somewhere along the line as we study them. We'll find ourselves in the lives of some of these that we're going to point out, and also learn some lessons about faith, about believing. You know, folks, this whole matter of believing in Jesus Christ, believing who he was, believing he died for your sins, believing he was buried, believing he rose again. You know, that is impossible to do without faith. Amen. You know, God has constructed his relationship with mankind right now, where if you're going to have a relationship with him, you have to have a relationship that's built on faith. The whole, well, prove it crowd. If I don't see it, I don't believe it. Well, look right up here. I mean, I don't want to sound harsh, but if that's the attitude you're going to take towards God, then you're going to die in your sins and burn forever in the devil's hell. Amen. Because you cannot get saved without faith. You cannot get saved without faith. So if you're going to be, well, I only believe what I can prove in the laboratory, and science has become your God, then so-called science, by the way, the Bible says science falsely so-called, then you're going to die in your sins. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And God has set up salvation in such a way that it cannot be activated except through faith. You say, preacher, why do you believe Jesus was the Son of God? I believe it by faith. Why do you believe that he died on the cross for your sins? I believe it by faith. Why do you believe he lay in that tomb for 3 days and three nights, but corruption never touched him? Because I believe it by faith. Why do you believe that he rose from the dead? I believe it by faith. And that's what you have to do if you're going to be saved. It has to be through faith. Mary Magdalene, let's introduce her. Well, I'm going to have a lot to cover in a short amount of time, so we'll do what we can. Mary Magdalene is introduced in verse 1 and 2. She comes very early. The Bible says, while it was yet dark, and sees that the stone is rolled away from the sepulcher. She turns around and runs back and finds Simon and John and tells them, hey, they've taken it. By the way, she doesn't say, he arose. She says this, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. So at this point, she is not believing in the resurrection. She's not even thought of the fact that Jesus has raised from the dead. She just sees the stone rolled away, and she sees that he's not there, and assumes that somebody has moved his body or taken his body, and she's upset about that. You drop down in verse number 11. We're going to skip Peter and John, their race to the sepulcher, because we're on Mary Magdalene right now. But Mary, again, she lingers after they leave. Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. By the way, we see a lot of emotions that she's experiencing here. We're going to look at this. This is quite the remarkable lady. Brokenheartedness right now. Brokenheartedness. She doesn't understand what's going on, and so she's weeping. And as she wept, she stooped and looked into the sepulcher. Notice this, and see two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, woman, why weepest thou? She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And notice this, she supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And I love this. Jesus saith unto her, just one word, he just speaks her name. As soon as he speaks her name, she knows exactly who he is. He just simply says, Mary. And she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Now, I love Mary Magdalene. I love the sweet, precious relationship she had with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible tells us that God, Jesus, had not only saved her, but had delivered her. She was at one time possessed by evil spirits. And so here's a woman that comes from a background where Satan had secured a place in her heart and in her life. Devils had possessed her. And you can imagine what they had driven her to do, because the devil and his influence on us always is a destructive influence. And so here's a woman that's helpless and possessed by demons and hopeless. And all of a sudden Jesus comes and delivers her of these devils. And she puts her faith and trust in Jesus as the Savior, the promised Messiah. And so here's a woman from not a great background. But you know what? She was saved. And Jesus forgave her of her sin. And so In the Bible, there's, I think, an interesting story that Jesus tells. He was in the, and let me read this in Luke chapter 7. You say, preacher, you feel like Mary Magdalene loved Jesus a little bit more than most people? Let me tell you the answer, yes. And I'm going to tell you what I believe is the reason why. You can go over to Luke. If you want to hold your place, I'd like you to see this. Luke chapter 7, verse number 36. So hold your place. We'll be right back there. But in Luke chapter 7, verse number 36, Luke chapter 7, verse number 36, there's an interesting story told here. And I think it'll bring us to a reason why Mary Magdalene had such a love and affection for the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 7, verse 36, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and she stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Now notice the reaction of the Pharisee. And when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. For she is a sinner. Oh, by the way, that Pharisee was a sinner too. And by the way, I'm a sinner too. And by the way, you're a sinner too. You know what? The problem with the Pharisee is he didn't realize it. And you know why she was doing what she was doing? Because she did realize it. And he goes on to take a moment and teach this Pharisee a very important lesson. We can listen in and learn. Verse 40, and Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. One owed 500 pence and the other 50. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, watch this, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, and to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is he that forgiveth sins also? And by the way, he ignores them. And he says to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Now, I think there's a reason that Mary Magdalene loved Jesus maybe a little bit more than other people. And I'm going to tell you, it doesn't have to be so. So, preacher, the only reason I could have that level of love for Jesus Christ is to come from a sinful background. I mean, be saved out of debauchery. So I have to ruin the first half of my life and then be forgiven for all kinds of terrible stuff. And then I'll be able to love Jesus the same. Hey, come on, preacher, you were a preacher's kid and you were saved at a young age. And so there's no way that you can love Jesus as much as somebody that was saved out of a horrible life of sin. By the way, that's simply not true. The difference between the Pharisee and the woman is that she realized the depth of sin that she was saved from. And I want to say this to kids that are raised in church and people that were raised in church and people that didn't have a horrible background. If you're not careful, you know what? You can think that Jesus had to just forgive you of a little. And he had to forgive everybody else of a lot. But that's simply not King James Holy Bible. The Bible says if we're guilty in one point of the law, then we're guilty in all of it. And I can love Jesus. Let me just tell you something, because I saw this in real life action. When I went off to Bible college years ago, Brother Joe, and the Bible college I went to was rather large. But you know what I found? And I didn't think of it till later on. It's not like I purposely did it. But I just wanted to get with the crowd that loved Jesus the most, that was more the most passionate about serving Christ. And one day I realized after a couple years that my circle of friends, not one of them were raised in a Christian home. Not one of them were PKs. I mean, I looked around and I thought to myself, wait a minute. You know, where are the preacher's kids? Where are the missionary kids? Where are the deacon's kids? Where are the kids that were raised up in it? Why aren't they saying amen the loudest? Why aren't they working the hardest for Jesus? Why don't I feel a passion and love from them? I mean, they've got more to be thankful for, not less to be thankful for. And I think that a lot of times it's simply because we've got something in our mind that's not right. We think we were forgiven little, and somebody else that was saved out of alcoholism or prostitution or whatever, boy, they were forgiven much, but God didn't really have to forgive that much in our lives. That's not true. It took the same blood of Jesus Christ to pay for my sins as it did for anybody else's sins. And if anything, we ought to be more thankful if we were raised in church, not less thankful, more passionate. To whom much is given, much is required. We ought to be thankful not just for what God saved us from, but what he saved us from experiencing later on in life, hadn't we not found out Christ. But Mary Magdalene kind of represents that crowd of misfits that I guess I hung with at college, and every single one of them. I remember chapel one day, Raymond Santiago was saved out of the ghettos of Chicago, a gang member, and got saved, called to preach. And the preacher's preaching on Jesus Christ, and he's standing up during the sermon, waving his Bible and tears running down his, we always called him Cheeks. He had the fattest face. And running down cheeks, both cheeks. And then I remember looking across the aisle at somebody that I knew was a pastor's kid, and he's looking over, and he whispers to his friend. He kind of goes like this and rolls his eyes. And I thought to myself, I think I'll hang with that crowd. Amen. I mean, you know what, son? You don't even realize what Jesus saved you for. I wanted to ask him, are you really saved? Or you just never got an understanding how bad of a sinner you were? Because, you know, maybe if you appreciated what Jesus did for you like Raymond, you'd be up there waving your Bible instead of looking down your nose. Come on, folks. This is good for all of us to hear. Think about that. So we see a woman that's experiencing brokenheartedness. Does it surprise me that Jesus appeared to her first? Psalms 34, 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. We see the confusion as she's trying to figure out what's going on. By the way, let's not judge these people too harshly, folks. It's easy. We have the scripture. We know what happened. We've heard it all. But they're still trying to figure out what in the world is going on. But you see the confusion. By the way, confusion never comes from God. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And when Jesus steps in, you're going to see her confusion go to peace here in a minute. And then you see the emotion of joy and faith as she realizes it's the risen Savior. And then the desire to share the good news. This woman did a lot of running that day. Back and forth, letting them know, I saw the Savior, he's risen. And we read in one place where the disciples, they don't believe her. They think she's lost her mind. But she was excited about it. Boy, let's let a little bit of the spirit of Mary Magdalene touch our lives on Resurrection Sunday. Come on now, think about this, folks. We ought to be experiencing that same joy, that same faith, that same desire to want to share the good news that Jesus is risen from the dead. All right, next group, Peter and John. And John is writing this through inspiration. So when they hear this from Mary Magdalene, they both take off for the sepulcher. And John, I like John. You know, he's still a man, okay? He's still a guy. He's got to make sure that it's in the scripture that he did outrun Peter and won the race to the sepulcher. So he's got in the holy writ bragging rights here. He just wanted everybody to know, in case you know, want to know this, I did outrun Peter. And so verse number 4, the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher, verse 5, and he stooping down looked in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet not went he not in. And so John gets there first and looks in and sees that the body is gone and the linen clothes are there. And then Peter comes in. This is Peter. He goes right in. You know, that's his personality. He goes barging in. He checks everything out, seeth the linen clothes lying, the napkin which was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. And then went in that other disciple, John, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw, now watch this, folks, he hasn't seen the risen Christ yet. I love this. And he saw that empty tomb and believed. Now, we're going to compare him to Thomas in a few minutes. You know where we're going with this. We're talking about the subject of faith here. And where is our faith at? I mean, where is our faith in our belief in a risen Savior? Well, you say, preacher, I believe it. Well, do you believe it here? Do you believe it here? And by the way, do you believe it to the same level that it causes an activation in your Christian life to want to tell the world what's happened? Okay. And so we see these two. I love that. And he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went again into their own home. All right, I'm going to summarize these folks. Excitement, excitement. His body's gone. Let's go look. They ran together. Belief, belief. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanne and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, and this is Luke 24, which told these things unto the apostles, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed not. Listen, neither Peter or John believed it because Mary Magdalene said it, because Luke tells us none of the disciples believed it at first. But when they ran and looked, and he saw, John saw that Jesus was not there, he believed that he had risen from the dead. So you're seeing different people come to the realization at different times. Mary's very emotional. There's a lot of confusion. She's trying to figure out what's going on. Jesus appears to her, and her confusion evaporates in peace. And she sees the Savior, and she goes to tell John. Peter, we're not told anything about Peter here. By the way, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll be there during our morning service. But somewhere after Jesus visits the two men on the road to Emmaus, on the day of the resurrection, this all happened the same day, he also appeared to Peter, met Peter. We're not given an account of that interaction except a mention of it. So Jesus appears a little bit later to just him before he appears to all of them in the upper room. And so very interesting. And so we see here belief, faith. And then could you take a look at verse number 10 before we move to the next group? Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. And, you know, I pondered that because, you know, sometimes you read certain verses and I've read it, I don't know how many times, but I haven't really pondered it. And I'm breaking this down. I'm thinking, well, you know, Mary Magdalene, she took off to tell the disciples. Where did these two folks go? They went home. And I thought, as a husband, you know, when something spectacular, amazing happens, something that's caused me to have to rethink things and I'm trying to figure it out, there's something about going home and sitting down and just saying to the wife, come on, you guys go home and talk things through with your wife sometime. You're not going to believe what just happened. I'm still trying to wrap my mind around it. John, I think, probably went to his home and said to his wife very emphatically, he has risen, because it says he believed. Maybe Peter's still trying to wrap his mind around it. Mary Magdalene, you're not going to believe this. Can you see him telling about it at the house? But I also had this thought. You know what, folks? If we're going to take the message of the resurrection anywhere, we better take it home before we take it anywhere else. And I often say to these young parents, and we've got a whole army of young parents around here raising kids, and folks, they're doing a great job. And I try just cheerlead them. I really do. But boy, it'd be a shame if we reached the whole world and didn't reach our own children. It'd be a shame if we reached the whole world and didn't reach our own grandchildren. And I thought, boy, there's something there. There's a truth there. They saw that, figured out he had reached, and where'd they do? They headed for home. Next group, the 10 disciples. Look at verse 19. I'm hurrying a little. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And then Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive you the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto you. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. What is the reaction here? Well, in verse number 19, we see fear. First of all, they're assembled for fear of the Jews. By this time, it's evening. The rumors are going everywhere. Some are saying they've seen the Christ. Some are contemplating, is it so? The disciples somehow get word around. They all meet in the upper room. But they're not in fear of their lives because, hey, if they came and arrested Jesus and crucified him, could we be next? Are they now going to hunt down all of his followers? And are we looking at the same fate? And so, folks, don't forget that these people were human beings. So easy, come on, to sit in the cheap seats, be the Monday morning quarterback, and critique how you would have reacted or to a situation. But these are real human beings, real emotions, fear. And then the Bible says, then were the disciples glad, their fear went to gladness. There's something about Jesus showing up that just changes the situation, changes the temperature in the room. And we see that they went from fear to gladness. Then Jesus gave them specific direction. Again, I think there was confusion. If he has risen, what are we supposed to do? What's next? Well, he tells them what's next. He said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. He's given them a reason, a purpose, a message now to tell to the world. Then this supernatural endowment, I won't spend any time on this, but he breathes on them, says unto them, receive you the Holy Ghost. Wait a minute. One disciple's not experiencing any of this. One of them didn't show up. Who was it? Yeah. See what he's missing here? First appearance to Jesus Christ to all the disciples. That feeling from confusion to gladness. I mean, then purpose. Now we have a purpose. Now we have power because the Holy Spirit's come upon us. Where's Thomas? Where's Thomas? I saw a little saying that was I thought was pretty good this week. It said, we never know which service will change our lives, which church service will change our lives. But I can tell you which one it won't be, the one you failed to attend. And there's Thomas. So let's talk about Thomas in the last couple minutes, and then we'll tie it up and we'll let the folks in here. But Thomas, verse 24, called Didymus, was not with him when Jesus came. The other disciple therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, look, what a statement. I will not believe. Wow, think about that. Hey, by the way, how many of you have seen the nail scars in Jesus' hand, or had a chance to see that wound, or have seen him in his resurrected body? By the way, how many of you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Come on, you shouldn't be ashamed of it. All right, then think about this. You got more faith than Thomas. And Jesus is about to say that. 8 days later, in verse 26, the disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not, there's the word, faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to them, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And so we see an absence. Thomas is not there. We see doubt, and we see the declaration of, I will not believe. If I can't see it, I will not believe. Shame on you, Thomas. And then we see Thomas, Jesus, bring him to faith. And he says, be not faithless, but believing. And then the mixed blessing. Because he said, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they which have not seen and yet have believed. Now let me finish with this verse. Now faith is the substance. Think about this, folks. Now faith, it's all about faith. This whole chapter is about faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Jesus says there's a special blessing that comes on people that don't see it, yet believe it. Anybody see God create the heavens and the earth in 6 days? How many believe he created the heavens and the earth in 6 days? Amen. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. And you know what? Preacher, why do you believe Jesus? I'm going to finish where I started. Why do you believe Jesus, Son of God? By faith. Amen. Why do you believe he died on the cross for your sins? By faith. Because this book tells me that, and I choose to believe it by faith. Faith is a choice. Right. It's a choice. And everybody's either going to choose to believe or choose not to believe. But let me tell you something. You will not get to heaven without faith. Isn't this a neat chapter here. Heavenly Father, boy, we've rushed through it, Lord, and I rushed past a lot of good things. But I pray, Lord, that we'll leave the Sunday school hour understanding how pleasing it is to you for us to just simply read what the Bible says and accept it and believe it by faith. By faith. Help us not to be a doubting Thomas. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us just to have that heart that says, Lord, if you declare it in your word, then I'm going to believe it in my heart. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.